City of Tukwila's Finance and Governance Committee for November 25th. I'm Deshaun Flynn, I'm the chair. I'm joined by committee members Scott Sharp and Jovita McConnell. Let's go ahead and get started with the business agenda item 1A.
So Nora Gerloff, Community Development Director, and this is our standard contract for review for structural engineering services. We've worked with Reed Middleton for many years. They provided a good responsive service and a good value for that. Mostly, it's just our larger projects that need an actual engineer to review the drawings. And then the reason why we contract out rather than have that in-house is because they have a greater breadth of knowledge, and because they have more people, when we do get busy, they can respond more quickly. And we don't always have a full-time amount of work for a single structural engineer. So we're asking that answer any questions you have, and ideally this would go to the consent agenda on the second.
Okay. All right. No questions.
Okay. So how often do you utilize the service? I mean, I see it up to 300,000. Is that
over 2 years?
Over 2 years.
Yeah. When we get big projects in, like we're kind of bumping up against our limit this year, because we've had some big things come in, it's just kind of hard to tell, and we like to not be in a position where we have to delay a project to increase and do an amendment to the contract. So we try and kind of over budget, knowing that we only spend what we need.
Okay.
For this one.
Okay. And it's on average, you are up to 300,000 for 2 years?
For 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So we have budgeted 200,000 per year. That includes both the structural and our other overflow plan review and inspection services. So between the two of them, we have about 200,000 or 400,000 in the budget.
Okay, that's all I have. I don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, and she asked my question. I wish we utilize it. So very straightforward. So are we comfortable forwarding this to the consent agenda?
Yes.
All right. We're going to move on to business item agenda 1B, which is the ratification of contract with Court Party Rental for temporary tent in the Riverton United Methodist Church.
So I'm Brandon Miles, Director of Government Relations. So fast forward back to October of last year, Alan Eckberg, then mayor, issued a proclamation declaring a state of emergency so the city could respond to the growing influx of asylum seekers in the city. That proclamation was ratified by the city council, and it allows the mayor to enter into contracts that exceed his or her signing authority in order to quickly respond to a crisis. We are required, though, and we've realized that this is not happening, and we're trying to remedy this, is that the council has to ratify the contract as well. And so this is one of the contracts that needs to be ratified. It's the final contract. We're done. The tent has been removed. So this is for the court renter, which was not to exceed $391,000 and change, which will pay it's for that tent that we had at Riverton Park. And so we're asking that we go to next week's consent agenda. The tent has been removed. It has been removed successfully. At the peak, we had 77 individuals in it. At one point, we had looked at buying the tent. I think this is a little bit more expensive, not buying the tent. However, there are other considerations, which is if we own it, then people would probably have expected us to use the tent more frequently. And I think being out of the city was our goal. So we're going to have some other contracts to come back to you. The IT strategies agreement needs also to be ratified by the city council. So asking for this to go to next week's consent agenda.
Okay, so just before you go into it, just clarifying, obviously these are already expenditures that we incurred. There'll be more in the future, and this is also documentation of investment. So either way, we have to pay this.
Right. And one important thing, we expect to receive most of, if not all, of these funds reimbursed by our various grants that we have from the state of Washington, King County, and then I have, in one of my email updates, I notify that we also have a FEMA grant that's coming in. The issue of how much we get backdated will be based upon the amount we get back will be issued about how much we can get backdated. So the county and the state have said we can backdate to a certain amount. So that's going to be helpful for us getting reimbursed.
Okay. Councilmember Mercado.
How did that cost go up from 284 to 391? That just was longer?
We extended the tent.
Okay.
We extended the tent, and we also paid for fuel. And we also had to eventually get also an AC generator or an AC unit for the tent. So, but we extended through October, and we realized that it was cheaper to do that than to put people up in hotel rooms.
Okay.
And one thing that I'd also say, too, is we've had a lot of success in people who were in the tent. We found housing with them without using a lot of any city funds. So just simply identifying services or that they were eligible for helped us move people out.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Councilman Sharp? Yes. So it costs about $360,000 or something to run this tent?
$391,000.
So it's $391,000.
Yes.
That's the exact out-the-door total.
Yes.
What was the cost of the tent if we bought one?
I think it was, I don't remember that off the top of my head, but it was cheaper than $391,000.
So well,
probably, I think, like $300,000 to $310,000. I would need to look up the exact number.
Okay. And then as far as being reimbursed, when does the city expect to see the money?
We're going to start invoicing our granting agency by the end of the year. We are not under contract yet with the King County grant. You gave us authorization to enter that contract. We're still working out that final scope, but we're going to invoice. It's a good problem to have. We've been trying to make sure that I don't want to invoice the state until I know if I can invoice the county or the feds, because I want to see how I can maximize all the money. So, but we will start invoicing probably definitely by the end of the year.
Okay. And, I don't have anything other than the extension probably added, obviously, a rate of cost.
Yeah.
And the price point is different, but
yeah.
I hear you on the, if we owned it, people will say you owned it.
Right.
Keep it up.
I will say Tuesday, I was very happy that that tent was out when the windstorm was hitting, because I don't think it would have survived. It was already having issues before. So I was very happy that we removed it.
Sure. If the tent had disintegrated in the storm, who pays for that tent?
I don't know. Most likely we would have been responsible for it since we were renting the tent.
Cool. They probably had insurance, too, though.
They probably had insurance. There's other equipment there, too, like a generator and stuff that's all been removed. So that we were just through the rental. So
are we comfortable forwarding this to the December 2nd regular consent agenda?
Yes.
All right. Item C is a contract for the 2025-2026 federal lobbying services.
So once again, this is my item. We are coming back to you wanting to up our federal lobbying game. So the city had a very bare bones contract the start of the year, $1,000 a month with the Summit Strategies. We used to have a much more in-depth contract with them prior to that. $1,000 a month is really just a monthly email update about things going on. It nowhere provided the type of services that we had expected in the past or that we hope to get in the future. So we issued an RFP. We had three firms that responded. We interviewed two of them, CFM Advocates and Desimony Consulting. CFM was the stronger of the two. They're both good, but we decided that CFM was kind of leaning towards the better way. So we would like to execute an agreement, a two-year agreement to do a federal lobbying contract. My goal with this contract, just like our state contract with David Foster, who is our state contract, is that this pays for itself and then some, a lot more. So like David last year helped us secure the $2.5 million we got from the state for the asylum seekers. So this is what we're hoping to do with our federal contract, mainly focused on transportation. We have congressionally directed spending, aka earmarks, are something that we want to be able to go after and be more aggressive on, and helping us get federal competitive grants. So the contract is for $6,000 a month, $72,000 per year for a two-year contract. And we look forward to next week's consent agenda. And I plan on, if the contract is approved, they will come to council in January and give us a briefing of what to expect in the next congressional session and ways that we can, and also generate our federal lobbying agenda.
Okay.
Brandon, you have a list to trust your time.
Oh, I apologize for that.
That's a nerve term. So David Foster is the state guy.
Yes.
These would be the federal people.
Yes.
And where would they reside?
So they are, they have an office in Washington, D.C., and then they have an office in Vancouver, Washington, but they have other clients up here. So, like, they were up here last week, so we had a meeting with them. So they're in Washington, D.C., and in Washington State.
Okay, and then you know they're great because there's a, is there a Yelp on there or something? How do you know they're good?
Well, the biggest, first, they interviewed very well, and they had good recommendations. But one of the biggest recommendations was they had worked with our current city administrator, Molly Wine, when she was in Oregon. So they cover Oregon cities as well, and she had a working relationship with them. So that gave us a little bit of a positive statement as well.
I see. And then federal projects, what would be some, or like what would be a garden variety one that we would expect to have some pull on here in Tupelo?
So competitive grants. A few years ago we had submitted for, and it's not a current project on our list, but an example, the Strander project. We submitted under the TIGER. TIGER 2 is the acronym, and then it became, there's another acronym that it took over. So that could be an example. Another
Strander project.
Strander Boulevard was a connection
between Renton and Tukwila.
Yeah. So that's one example. Another example was the BNSF Alternative Access Project. That's going to require a lot of federal funds probably, as well as federal permitting. So those are ways that we think we can use it. City of Tukwila staff was successful in the, and we currently have a placeholder in Adam Smith's congressional budget for about $800,000 for the TCC HVAC system for the next phase. That's something they can also help us with. They sometimes know that a little bit better about where to go after money than we do. So those are some examples. We also have small projects. We also have other projects. Transportation projects are really what the federal government kind of can help us with.
And then the last question I have is, how do they play with the grant acquisition specialist folks that we have? Are they in constant conversation? Are we like tag team and like, hey, I'm going to go for this one, you're going to go for that one, or hey, here's the answer to that question, for how do they play together?
Yeah, so they're work to coordinate opportunities. Some stuff we will, our granting person would be the lead on, smaller ones. Some of the big, more, the tire grants require kind of more in-depth writing, and so sometimes we actually have our lobbyists take the lead in doing that, but our granting coordinator also helps with that as well. So we're not duplicating work with each other. I see that that's an important aspect. And sometimes it's so small that we're not going to have the lobbyists help us with it. We're going to have someone else. But what they do is they let us know. They kind of let us know about it, and also how to do a competitive application, because they see all other cities and stuff, and they know kind of what's doing well, what's not doing well.
Oh, and then the last question is, it's a flat fee, or every time they take on a project, there's a little, hey, we're going to charge you a little extra for that one, or like up to the first 5 projects per month, we will deal with. If there's number 6, it costs the city a little bit more. How does it work?
It's a flat rate. So $6,000 a month. I'm sure we're keeping busy for that. At some point at the end of the contract, if they're like, we're spending way too much time on a contract, they need to do it. And the flip side is like, hey, we're not seeing a lot with you. That's one of the reasons why we dismissed our last lobbyist, which we just didn't feel like we were getting a lot even for $1,000 a month. So I'm excited about bringing on a federal lobbyist. I think we can play very well. And, you know, the whole asylum issue, too, is to have someone who can help us in D.C. navigate that. It's going to be quite interesting.
Thank you.
And we're going to need them. So I think you answered a lot of my questions, why we terminated Summit contract, the $6,000 a month, not to exceed $72,000 a year, right? Mm-hmm. And we've never used this group before, so it was a big brand new for us.
And the city we haven't, Marty Wyan, our city administrator, has. Is.
Did she use them back in 2017 through 2020?
I don't know the exact time frame, but she was very pleased with their services down in Oregon.
Okay, so I don't have any other questions.
And I apologize, this is going to go to the December 9th COW meeting and then the December 16th consent agenda. If you want to address the council here,
maybe.
Huh?
Maybe.
Yeah.
The presumption.
I apologize, Paul.
Go ahead. You got to know what's
about. I honestly apologize.
Stop, man.
You know, should you allow us to move forward?
Yeah.
And you could go to consent if you decide.
Yeah, I would stop. But I would say I would say this, that a lot of good questions were asked. And that's why I think BNSF alone, we got to at least hold firm. And the other things, obviously, will to be determined, but I think we got to get on this right now. The other thing I would say is I appreciate us doing an RFP and just saying, hey, if we're going to discard yellow, let's see what we can get out there. And I hope we do an assessment of these services, because I think this will be the year, and I would say in changes of administration, sometimes you change the contracts because people have connections in other spaces, but we're going to go on this ride together. With that being said, are we comfortable forwarding this to the December 9th, what do you say, consensus?
It's right now scheduled for the committee as a whole, but you, as a committee, you can always decide to put something on consent if you feel it's warranted.
I think it's about running, so there's a question to everyone.
Well, can I go on to 12-2 consent at the end of
it? Okay. Is it that you want to give the other folks a chance to ask a question?
Well, I would normally, but I also think it's important that they hit the ground running and start doing their assessment of what they can get. So,
not being too presumptive, Councilor Member, we are scheduled to have them come in January to do a briefing to our City Councilor, and we're going to do our federal legislative agenda at that time. So there will be an opportunity for the other council members to hear about it and to ask questions, more substantive questions at that time.
So I think putting the difference in saying forwarding this to December 9th, I think just avoids some of it. Because all it takes one person to pull it off. So to avoid that, I think having a strong recommendation in favor of this for 12-9, and leave open the opportunity to ask questions, and then I think we can move on.
Sure. Can you change that on that night to go where it shows up twice to come on in? You know how we have it? Sometimes we have a conversation like you allow, and then it's already for the consent that is there a consent that evening that can be done on that one, or is it not on that night? It's only on 12-16.
We don't currently have a special meeting.
Yeah.
Let me double check.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes there's a special meeting.
In the second, could it go on the second so they can ask a question? And
Would that, could we reduce that?
There is a special meeting on the night. So because the clerk's office is working with a short week this week, if it's okay with the committee, I like Councilmember Sharp's suggestion for December 9th COW to December 9th special for action.
And as the chair, I will say, you know, the hope is that, one, we want to ask questions, but we also would like to see it on the special meeting. If so, we hit ground, right? That sounds good?
Agreed.
Okay. Cool. All right. That was good. Everybody around. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
We have a miscellaneous.
What?
Well, us, administration.
Okay, it was, yeah. Okay. Well, good.
It's going to be interesting.
Okay.
So this came out of, so we got an audit report on Friday. It came late Friday, an audit Washington State fraud investigation. So in 2022, the city identified that there was a labor assistant in Collins Human Services who was helping with federal funds for housing, was issuing inappropriate checks, totaling $10,680. We caught one of the $10,680 total. We caught one of the checks in favor of stop payment, so the total loss that the city incurred was $7,600. We immediately terminated the employee. We also notified the Washington State Department, the Washington State Audit Department, who conducted their own investigation, and then we also filed a police report. So I'm going to forward this to the rest of the council tonight as Finance and Governance. I want you guys to hear it first. And then I know we're going to also be talking about our 2023 audit finding or audit report, standard audit report next year. But just want to give you a heads up. One of the big things that came out of this, even before, I mean, we've been doing this, was some better controls. So the director, me now, I approve any of these housing vouchers or utility assistant payments. So I see them before they get issued. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. The report's going to come to you this evening.
Questions? Yes. Is this criminal thing?
It was referred to the police department.
Able to find us people?
Yes.
Okay, and then is that one of those line items that shows up on the voucher? Does that mean like one of us unfortunately approved one of those?
No.
Okay.
No, this is staff.
Okay. That's just a world over there. We didn't look at it and just kind of glaze over it. Yeah, that.
You wouldn't have known. It would have been a reimbursement, but you would not have known it because it's not something that letter that you would see. It's something that should be caught at the administrative level.
And there's safeguards in place when you decide to take a job in Washington D.C. Is there safeguards in place for the next gal or guy to see or make that check?
Yeah,
it doesn't happen again.
So originally, we started the check process immediately. Rich Bianchi was doing it after it was caught. So she was the safeguard when she left and went to Vicky, finance director. When Vicky left, now since it's in my department, I'm doing it as the director. So the safeguards have been in place. And yes, so if I was to leave, someone else, whoever took my position, or Marty or someone else would fill in and approve those.
Well, I have to ask a follow-up question. Kudos to you for finding it, but why didn't we find it up until you got it in your realm?
Let me back up. It was caught. Two of our employees caught it in 2022.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was caught quickly by two existing human services employees. They reported it to management. I don't know why it took this long for the auditor to send this report, and I don't know what communications were done with counselor at that time. We've had a lot of turnover, and so we just want to be completely transparent about what's happening. But it was caught immediately. Those two employees caught it right away.
Right. It's like somebody at a bank is working as a teller, and you get caught for fraud. They'll be able to get away with it for a while, but what you want is the people in that division catch them eventually. And
or like Macy's,
yeah.
$154 million today.
That's
really good.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, that one employee was doing this scam.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That was a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay. All right. Any other miscellaneous? Hearing none, we are adjourned.